Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Welcome to our show, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. A little bit of a problem getting online today, but we are broadcasting. Luckily, we were able to get on the phone here and start the show. So we've got several callers in the queue, 518-814 and 850. 814, I've got a... write down, and that is going to be the order, 518 first, 814 second, 850 third, and we're going to bring everyone on. There's going to be sufficient time for everyone to get a reading. Also, we invite you to join us on Facebook and on X, formerly known as Twitter. Please follow us there. We appreciate it greatly if you do. It really helps. First caller, let's unmute here, 518.
Hi there. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I haven't spoken to you in a while.
Okay. What's your name?
Valerie.
Oh, Valerie. Hi, Valerie.
Yeah,
so you're
how are
October
you?
October 12th? We're doing
got it.
Fine. October 12th and the year?
Yes.
Did I remember that? I'm kind of amazed.
1969.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's 29112. Is that right?
Yeah.
29112. Okay. Okay, Valerie. So last time we talked with you, you were searching for work, and you're limited. We figured out why.
Yeah.
You are limited due to the disability that you're on. So give us a little bit of a progress report, and go ahead. Then you can go ahead with your question.
Okay. Well, as I told you the last time we spoke, I was working. I had gotten a job, and you guys saw that I would be changing my job. You said you felt something better, you know, more, I guess, more me, for lack of better words, would come in. And nothing, I think you said, guaranteed by the end of February. Nothing has changed.
Nothing. Well, there's never a guarantee. I mean, when we make a prediction, when Neil makes a prediction, when I make a prediction, there are contingencies sometimes. So there may be some kind of problem. I mean, you know, I thought about you since you called, and I figured,
oh, thank
you know,
you.
You think You're welcome. Well, we do. We really do put our callers into our energy work, and you know, you're at the forefront of our minds, just like our clients. So I was thinking about you, and what I was thinking about is the type of job that you want seems like it wouldn't be so difficult, because so many employers don't want full-time workers because they don't want to have to pay the benefits that are required for full-time workers. So it seems like there would be a job that would suit you. I mean, it's just strange that there would be an overabundance of part-time jobs. What about working at home? Like, I mean, I see all these things. There's a group that we're in, and we're connected to that kind of needs some part-time work. So often I'll, like, send links, you know, work at home, you know, for Pepsi, answering calls, or work at home for Amazon, answering, you know, you're working the phone lines. Is there anything like that you've looked into? Because that seems like it would be the best.
I have everything like that, and no full-time, or a lot of those companies, you see the ad online, work from home, and then you click on it and you find out it's a scam because Amazon doesn't do work from home like in New York or, you know, like
maybe
overseas.
Oh, I see.
Maybe
it's different
overseas.
In every state for Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I've tried. I Google everything. I research things.
So are you currently working at that? You were working at as a cashier or something?
Yep.
Are you still at that job?
Yep.
So you're still working. So that's the good news. You still.
Well, yeah, that's the good
down.
News.
Go ahead. Okay, Neil. I can tell her confident a bit.
Valerie. Listen,
yes, hi.
Really
How are
closely.
You?
Fine. Now, listen really closely. We're dealing, on a karmic level in numerology, we're dealing, in your case, with a very difficult number, which is 29 equals 11 equals 2. That's a really difficult number. The reason I say it is because I've been doing this over 60 years, and I've discovered there's a lot of problems with that number. Now, in your birthday, you have a 2 in your day and a 9 in your year. So there's another reflection of it. 29 becomes an 11, which happens to be your first and third number of your birthday. Mm-hmm. So what this means is that you have a very complicated, complex karma to work out in this lifetime, which includes the aforementioned dilemma of you getting, you know, qualifying work and work that you have some self-esteem in. But here's where the other factor comes in to your advantage. After I stated 2 and 9 in the birth date and the 11, 1, 1, what we have left over is a 6. Now that's vision. Mm-hmm. And somehow the universe has allowed you, in spite of the karma you're paying off in this lifetime, to have mm-hmm. a visionary variable that can get you out of any given mess. So here's what I'm suggesting as we speak. Now, some mm-hmm. of this will be considered cliche. So forgive me for these cliches.
Okay.
You know, and the cliches involve, like, for instance, burning candles, meditating, doing something with the essence of oils.
Right.
Those two things may help. Why? Because they may be linked to a past life energy where you were a spiritualist, but you still came back because there was probably some karma in that lifetime. So those are two things. I want to ask you something else. If I had to ask you, what is your favorite television show? And if you don't watch it, what was one of your favorite television shows?
I think you're probably Law and Order.
Perfect. We're associated with a member of that cast. And so that's significant, you would say that.
Yeah.
Because we deal one-on-one with a member of that cast.
Really?
Now, do you still? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you still watch it?
I do.
this person isn't currently on.
Okay. So, in your lifetime, this isn't the person we work with, but in your lifetime, have you ever known a David?
I've known a few of them, yes.
Okay. And were they positive or negative or neutral?
It depended. Sometimes extremely positive and funny, and then other times not so much.
Okay.
So
now,
do you still,
God, I understand, because we got a lot of callers. Do you still watch Law and Order, reruns or current?
Both.
Okay. What I want, we're going to put out energy. I want you to go keep going on your diligent journey, but let us put together our own little psychic brew by asking these questions. Do you light candles or do anything with oils by chance?
I do light candles.
Okay. I want you to continue that. I want you to continue watching Law and Order. And I want you to increase the amps on your meditation and energy. I'm hoping that this will be the start of getting you to break through some of the karma and maybe be working with a job that you're happy about in the month of May, if not June.
So real quick before we close, because we've got other callers that we've got to get to, for some reason I'm seeing haystacks. Why? Why am I
what
seeing
do you think?
Haystacks? Haystacks? Haystacks, like a barn. Yeah. But I know we talked before, the only thing that I can relate it to is the fact that we told you to look at places that, you know, like horse places, you know, equestrian facilities.
Right.
That's
yeah.
I can't, unfortunately.
They just don't pay quite enough. And
I see. That's fine.
You know,
but
the only other thing, you know, you could work at a, answering the phone where they call in for animal emergencies.
I've looked into that. You have to be an officer at the, I believe, at the county animal shelter. They're deputies a lot of the time answering the phone.
Animal shelters?
Yeah, they actually are.
Wow.
Well, you could investigate it.
Yeah, I will definitely. Okay, that's great. And quickly, do you just see anything in general coming up for me? Just, you know, anything?
Well, the whole reading, no. Valerie, the reading, there's nothing generally coming up for you. The reading is to create a door through which you will find something. You know, you got to keep looking.
It's not, you know.
So
like,
the specifics aren't at this particular reading. The approach to getting there is in the reading.
Right. Well, you have to understand that there isn't always a prediction or a something that is seen in a reading. We're trying to create it for you. But is there anything that you can relate to that haystack barn? Anything that you can relate? Doesn't mean you have to work somewhere like that. But, I mean, have you been anywhere in the country lately? Anything?
No.
Hmm. Okay.
Sadly.
No, you know, you like animals, right?
Yes, she likes animals.
Well, I do love animals.
So
absolutely.
So you might want to search.
She's a vegetarian.
You might want to search through animal association groups and see if there's anything you can do with your disability regarding the animal group.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many groups that, like, do rescue and things like
you
that.
Know,
there
anything.
Has to be something, like, in that.
You know, a lot of animal groups have 800 numbers and people answer the questions.
But even local
rescues.
Just start
looking through there.
Even
That's what our suggestion.
Even local rescues. Like, there's so many local rescues in our area. So, I would start getting on the phone and checking down.
I have quite a few friends who do rescue, you know, for animals, and there's nothing.
Yeah, I know. You don't get much. No, I know.
It's
more
volunteerism.
A lot of times, it is volunteer.
But anyways, use the approach we said and keep looking, and maybe the approach will bring into focus this specific
ASPCA, route. I mean, you can look at bigger organizations then instead of local rescues. Look at bigger organizations, see if they need help on the phone. ASPCA is one, obviously, a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
PETA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to broaden your horizons. Maybe it's not going to be something that's totally a local spot that, you know, you're going to a brick and mortar place for your job. But if you can work remotely, that would be even better. So I would start calling the major organizations.
Yeah, and keep in touch with us.
Yeah,
let us know. Don't see if we can get this
done. Get in touch before several months pass. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I have, but I've been trying, but I've been working, you know, just
all over the map.
So it's been crazy.
Yeah. We'll be thinking of you. Okay, Valerie, take care.
Thank you so much. You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, 814 is next, then 850, then 630.
Hello. Hi,
814.
This is
Amy. Amy. Hi, Amy from Pennsylvania?
Hi. Yes.
Hi. Hi. Give us your birth date. I think she's like an
7/20/71.
7/20/71 or 9? Yes.
I thought she said 7/27.
7/20/1971?
Yes.
Okay. I should remember this. 19, 20. Yeah, she's a 9. Okay, 27/9. Amy, it's been a while. You got your job. How's the job going?
I got my job. The job is going good, but I have a different supervisor. She retired last June. So,
okay.
I mean, she's not doing anything illegal or anything like my last horrible job, but, I mean, she doesn't follow through with things, and that's my... My
That's
issue.
Is that why you're calling today?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your question specifically so we can get it straight here? We've got a lot of questions.
Okay. Do you, what are you getting on my work with her, like the job?
So she's
like,
a
is
new
she
going to
stick around or? Yeah, she was my counterpart whenever my boss was there that hired me, and then she got her job after she left in September. She got it in September.
So she was a colleague. She was a colleague. You guys were like equal level, and then she got promoted.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and how was okay? And you had how was your relationship with her as a colleague?
I mean, it was. Fine, it was good, but she was one of those that, well, like, she didn't want to show me anything because she said that she had to go everything and learn everything on her own and that kind of stuff.
I see.
But I
so she wasn't really cooperative. Yeah.
No, she wasn't.
She wasn't cooperative, and now she's your supervisor, and you don't care for her.
I do, and I don't. You know what I mean? I mean...
Do you happen to have her birth date? I'm sure you don't, but.
I don't. I'm going to guess she's in her mid-30s.
Oh, boy. So she's quite a bit younger. I mean, not that you're old by any means, but there's a big age gap. And she's a lot younger, and she's your boss. So she's got a maturity
issue. Yeah, probably about 15 years. Maybe a 15-year difference, 15 to 17-year difference.
You know, Amy, one of your problems is your birth date code. You're at 27/9, and your first two numbers are 72. It's inverted. And your year, 1971, becomes a 9. Your problem, though,
and
your birth date code is in your 20, your day. That's relationship with kind of a
empty
dark energy around it. So this is a karmic situation. It's a tribal situation. I don't automatically see her leaving. It might be something you have to just tolerate. If the job is paying your bills and you're moderately satisfied at the job, until you find something else, I wouldn't be obsessing with her. I would because it's adding stress. You're not going to be able to change. I think she's going to probably stay the way she is. So So what you're doing is you're hitting your head against the brick wall. If you could moderate yourself and bring your level down of frustration, that might change things, actually, because I think you have more power than her on a karmic level. It's just that in this tribal job, she's got some advantages over you.
Right, like being promoted that at that age, which, I mean, leads me to question, how long has she worked? This is a government job, right?
Yes.
How long, I mean, was she worked longer at that job than you? I mean, I'm wondering why you weren't promoted. She's worked longer.
I mean, in this department, yeah, she worked here longer than me.
Well, yeah, because you were transferred, but I'm talking about the years that you put into this organization. You've worked there longer, but she's worked longer in that specific department because you were just transferred to that department.
Yeah. I wouldn't be too if you could moderate your tolerance level or your irritation level and bring that down, that produces a different energy. Because she might be, she's kind of competitive with you. And if you present yourself as being somewhat irritated, aggravated, aggressive, on some level that she picks up on, you're going to get resistance. If you lower it, you might find more cooperation from her. In the meantime, I think that's your best bet right now, if you're going to stay.
Well, I mean, the thing that's good, Amy, is that, you know, that 2-0 can cause a lot of problems for people. But for you, you've got kids, right? A husband.
Yes.
You're happily married. So, I mean, this is causing problems in the workplace. You're having problems with relationship in the workplace. Thank God it's not in your personal life. I mean, I don't mean to diminish what you're experiencing, but, you know, this is something you're going to be able to overcome, I think, with this woman.
Yeah, I would suggest that route. I mean, to answer your question for a radio show, I would suggest that route right now. I mean, we have other callers.
We've got a lot of callers.
But, I mean, if you want to give us exactly a 30-second example, the worst example she does, we'll listen to that for 30 seconds.
Okay. She doesn't, when I have reports in that, she'll never give me a straight answer, like if they're done properly or not, like, I'll keep sent, you know, different things that are due, and then I never hear, well, you know, any feedback on it.
Yeah.
And have you addressed her on this and said, I need more feedback?
Yeah. Yes, I have asked her.
And what did she do?
She doesn't, like I said, she doesn't follow through. She doesn't get back to you and answer, like,
Above her head.
I would go above her head and say, look, I need, for the general functioning and smoothness of this operation, I need more communication. I've talked to her. She doesn't seem to address anything. And I need somebody to mediate between us so that we have better communication.
Exactly.
That's all you do.
That's what you need to do. And she's passive aggressive.
Yeah.
And I have your state abbreviated PA, but that's what she is. PA, passive aggressive.
Yeah. That's what's going on. So I would go above her, but not with malice, with a remedy.
So you can find out really, you gauge how you're performing and make whatever improvements that there are to be made if necessary, or, you know, continue doing the work that you're doing, if not.
So I would do that, Amy.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, keep in touch with us, though. Let us know what happens. Okay. Take care.
Okay. You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Good to hear from you. Bye. Okay. We have Michelle, and then we have Dion, and then we have a caller from 954. So we're going to get through everybody here. Are you on the line, Michelle? Hello, 850.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep. 1014.
Can you hear me?
1017.
Yeah.
1014, right?
Yep, 10-14.
10-14-68. 30 equals 3. No, because I said the wrong thing last time. You worked on the wrong thing. Okay, what's up, Michelle? Oh.
All right.
Okay,
well,
now everything's coming back to me. I just said everything's coming back to me, you know.
Yeah.
About what's going on.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's moved out. And,
okay.
And now he's starting to get ugly. And, you know, he's trying to control me. He's trying to control me. It's a mind thing. So he's trying to control me. But anyways, he wanted me to get my own P.O. box. And so I thought about it for a little bit. And I'm like, why don't you get a new P.O. box? It'd be easier on me because you make more money than I do. You know, I'm on disability.
It's expensive.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, so I know it's easier for him. You know, and he's the one that done this crap, you know. And I think he's, because where I live at, the owner of the marina asked me what happened, and I told him, and he asked me what was he wanting the pain medicine for. And I says, I don't know. He just wanted the pain medicine. I said, it's in his head. I said, I don't know of anything that's hurting him. And now all of a sudden his tooth is hurting him. Well, his tooth has been hurting him for a year that he's put off. Actually, 2 years he's put it off. So I think he's using that as an excuse why he got the pain medicine and what he's telling everybody. Oh, I just had it one time because I had a toothache. You know, I'm sure he did have a toothache. He's had a toothache for 2 years. I guess I'm a little stressed out because, I'm just kind of stressed because of what he's telling people and what the truth of the matter is. And I'm like, why does he want me to get my own P.O. box? He's really stressing on that. And now he's telling me that I can go and refinance the truck and get his name off of the loan. Well, we got a loan. Well, it's in my name, and they're taking it out of my checking account. But we use his credit combined with mine because I had good credit, and he's got good credit. But I was only able to get a max of, like, $19,000. He was a max of $19,000. So a truck was, like, $27,000. So
wow.
We had to have the combined. So I had to have the combined income.
Right.
You see? And now he's telling me, oh, go refinance it. I'm like, well, I can't refinance it because how am I going to get this truck for $20,000?
So question.
He's being a smartass.
You're paying off the truck, but he wants to get off the title, essentially, and have it refinanced where he's not involved with the loan and responsible for the car because you're the one driving the car. Is that accurate?
The loan is in my name. So I'm sure he's on
like
there probably as a co-signer. Yeah.
Right.
There's no way for me to refinance it. I don't have the income. I'm on disability.
Well, the first thing, she's got this 1012, like Valerie, which is troublesome. But, Michelle, you know, the first thing, the drama about what he's taking pills for in his teeth and all this nonsense, try to just extract yourself from that. I mean, don't you agree? What's the purpose of getting involved with the owner of the dog and this and that? I mean, what?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Michelle, I wouldn't care what the gossip is.
Yeah.
Just ignore that.
That's
don't
not...
worry about that. As far as getting, who's paying on the truck now? Are you or he is?
I am.
You're paying
the
on
the bank
truck?
Takes it out of my checking. Yeah, the bank takes it out of my checking account.
What's the problem about taking him off title? Why don't you take him off title?
Because she doesn't think the loan is going to, she's going to lose the loan.
Why would you lose the loan?
No, he's wanting me to get his name. I know, but he's threatening me. I need to take his name off of the loan.
I know. So what's the problem with that?
You can't do that unless you refinance. You can't do that unless you refinance.
You're not going to be able to refinance.
Well, why don't you do some investigating and see if you can take his name off the loan without your payments going up or refinancing it remains the same. Why don't you try that? Because if you have an accident, he's responsible now too.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be, but the problem is, this is my problem with this. He is living in a residence that you both own a trailer, right? And you said you don't care about this. You said, I don't care about the trailer. He can live there. But the thing is, you're responsible for that trailer too because your name is on it. And if something goes wrong,
right,
you're responsible.
Yeah.
You guys need to, like, if you're breaking up, he's right. about the refinancing. Unfortunately, he needs to get his, you need to get his name off that title. But on the same token, you don't want to be, if you don't care about that trailer, then he needs to be the one taking responsibility and having his name on the trailer.
It's got
to
be a trade-off.
You got to get off that title. And, you know, because if something goes wrong there, Michelle, you are responsible. You're the owner.
That's your best bet.
Someone's
right
injured on his property, you're responsible.
But there's no way you can't refinance. Well, I could refinance, but I don't have the means to refinance. I just did the loan. My first payment is in 2 days.
So you just bought a truck with him?
Yes. This before all this happened.
Well, right. Then, you know, you're
so
in.
So my first payment is
pickle. Okay, so you're in a deadlock.
Well, I plan on
you
paying it.
You're in a deadlock, Michelle. You don't take your name off the trailer, and he can't take his name off the car.
Right.
We're both stuck with
your
dilemma.
But you also have both legal responsibilities for these properties and for the properties. I mean, they're both properties.
And what's this about the P.O. box?
P.O. box.
I don't know. He came in and he says, you need to get a new a mailbox. And I was like, why can't you get a new mailbox? I said, you make more money than I do. And then I went out and got my own phone. So he was real controlling, and I went out and got my own phone. I was like, okay, he wants to play games. That's fine. I'm going to go out and get my own phone. Then he got mad that I got my own phone. That's
so
because he can't control me no more.
Well, then your relationship's very unhealthy. I mean, it's more unhealthy even without the drug.
I don't understand.
There's major control
issues.
What's
this P.O. box? Where's the P.O. box?
Do you receive mail at your dock, at the dock?
No, you can't get mail there. We have to get a P.O. box at the mailbox, at the post office.
So you
United
have
States
a joint,
post office.
So you have a joint P.O. box.
Right. Right. And I
and
asked
so
him,
someone...
I asked him, I said, I asked him
Go
if
ahead.
He would put it in his, I asked him if he would get his, he asked me to change it and get my own P.O. box. And I said, well, you make more money than I do. Can you please get a P.O. box? And because I got a new phone, he's like, well, you can go and get your own P.O. box. Since you've got a new phone and you can afford it.
If he gets his own P.O. box, who's going to pay for the one you've got?
Well, it's paid up for... What, 6 months right now?
Well, I mean, at his trailer, can
he
receive mail?
Are you both on title to the P.O. box?
Yeah.
Right. All he'd have to do is go up there and tell him to take his name off of the P.O. box and open up a new one.
It doesn't matter. You know, he can tell you to take it off, but you don't have to. The only problem is he's able to look at
your
mail.
And he can steal it.
So,
I'm trying to figure out what is he hiding about the mailbox?
Oh, you mean he's, right. But if he's doing anything illegal or unsavory with that mailbox, you don't want to be legally associated with it because your name's on it. Again, you know.
Yeah, you've got to, you know.
What if he's ordering medication? He can order medications illegally online or whatever. I mean, there's dark web where you can do that, and he can get it shipped to his P.O. box, which you're on. And if you're on that P.O. box and you're caught, you're in deep, deep shit.
Yeah. You know, the post office will catch anything that's illegal like that if they're suspicious.
Yeah.
And they can't open your mail. You're in a unhealthy situation with them. It just seems like you're slowly getting out of it. But these problems you're having at the tail end of things are still concerning, but I think they're all going to be worked out. I would eliminate the gossip. Don't worry about the gossip.
No.
Who cares about that? Eliminate that. If you have one on him, he has one on you with the trailer and the car. I mean, it's a problem.
It's a problem.
You're going to have to kind of risk it and stay with it unless you both agree and civil about it.
Unfortunately, you've mixed your finances. You've put your names on titles. and you're not married. So it's more difficult to navigate the legal system when you're not actually married and going through a divorce and things can be decided by a judge. You're having to do this on your own. So,
you know, you have
thank
to.
Thank God I did
you,
get married.
Yeah.
Well, I
Michelle,
mean, you're in kind of more.
If
of,
you want peace of mind, you may have to pay for it.
I would
may
get
have
your
to pay
PO
for
box.
Peace of mind and just get rid of them entirely. If you don't want peace of mind because you want to save money, then you're going to have to live with this risk factor.
And what you're asked, you know, what you're saying about, well, you know, I wonder what he's doing with the mail. You know, the thing is, you've got to extract yourself. I mean, I know it's natural because you were in this relationship with him, but you've got to extract yourself from being worried about what he's doing. You ended the relationship with him because of his drug use. So you've got to just, and try not to let your brain, you know, wonder about, you know, what he's doing here, there, what's wrong with his tooth. That's all superfluous. You've got to work out these legal
issues.
Well,
I'm not really worried about what he's doing. He's texting me and asking why I'm getting my own phone, you know, so I have to respond back. So it's really him that's trying to keep on the relationship. I'm not. So it's pissing him off that I'm not contacting him.
Well,
so what? You don't contact him. He's not his business why you're getting your own phone. What do you mean you have to respond? You don't have to respond to that.
What you need to focus on right now is the decision whether you both keep the joint title of the trailer and of the truck, or you get off title of the trailer and he gets off title of the truck, which sounds like it's going to be worse for you financially, but you have the other burden of the fact that you're responsible and he is responsible for the property that you own together. So that's a negative. So that decision needs to be made, and the P.O. box decision needs to be made. My advice, get your own P.O. box. Why get mail together? You're separated. It may cost more money, but
you may have to make
cares?
A financial – I mean, if you want to get rid of them, you may have to make some financial
sacrifices,
or you have to live with this tension and save money. That's your decision right now. There's nothing psychic about it.
No,
the healthier way is to disengage from him entirely. It's going to be healthier and safer for you to do that, even if it is a little bit of a cost.
We got to move on to the next caller, though, because we're running out of time. But does that help at all?
Honey,
I mean, this wasn't a psychic. No, this wasn't. You know, wasn't a psychic reading. This was an advice. You know, giving you advice, but
well,
based
the psychic
on psychic
is you want to disengage.
Yeah.
I don't feel this is a good situation psychically.
No.
Keep it up and then use the source of money as a means to stay involved with him.
Michelle, it doesn't sound like it was a healthy relationship before you found out about the drug use.
Yeah.
Recurring. I mean,
right, he's trying to manipulate. You know, and control.
Get rid of him. Get rid of him because that is not healthy. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to move on.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Take care. Keep in touch, okay? All right. Bring on Dion. We lost 954 because I think they were last, so they
hello?
Hung up. Okay. Hi. Hi, Dion.
954 is Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, well, they hung up. Oh, wow.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Okay, you're welcome.
Tomorrow I have to go to court for the lady who hit my car who filed the papers.
Right.
I'm writing up a motion to dismiss based on frivolous accusations. I don't know if it'll work, but I'm going to go. My neighbor's going to come with me. Because he's a witness, and I have all of my insurance paper in order, you know, police report, birth certificate, because she accused me of
raping her,
knowing
at the age of five.
I may be related to somebody who raped her in 1978, is what it says.
Yeah, this is going to get thrown out, Dion. I don't think the judge is going to take it seriously. And, you know, you've got your evidence, which is very strong. He had damaged your car. She's retaliating because her insurance had to pay money and trying to cause you problems. I think this is going to get thrown out. What do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
No,
I mean,
it's a
nonsense.
Hassle, but.
Nonsense. And you have to go through it and just, you know, I mean, you could tell to the court, you know, that this is a frivolous lawsuit and for her to pay all expenses.
I mean, you could countersue. Neil was saying this. You could countersue. But, I mean, you don't have an attorney. That's the problem. And, you know, doing all this legal stuff on your own is not going to be easy.
But I could counter the no contact because, essentially, she's the person that's harassing me.
Yeah, you can.
See,
you can ask for.
I'm sorry.
You can ask for a restraining order that she's harassing you, and this is a frivolous lawsuit, 5 years old, and you don't want her to disrupt the. You have a right to a privacy of life. That's part of the Constitution and the pursuit of happiness, and she's disrupting that, and you want to be protected by the courts, because otherwise she can continue to harass you. So I would say that. And I would use those terms.
Okay.
The right to privacy.
And I believe
the right to,
that's Amendment 14, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, the right to privacy and the pursuit of happiness. And she's disrupting your privacy and disrupting your sense of being. And you want the courts to restrain her based on this frivolous lawsuit that she's disrupting your life and invading your good being. Your title, who you are. So I would do that.
Okay. I'm writing that down. Okay. Okay. That was fast.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Dion?
God, hopefully not. Well, I mean, everything's okay. I went to my checkup yesterday. They're going to get me a different GP, just one that's with the whole place that I got the surgery done. You know what I'm saying? Like, they need to talk to doctors about my health. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not out of the woods yet. And so I got lucky yesterday because they put a referral in, because the lady who did my surgery and the doctors that are, like, in that whole group, they're
right
wanting to be able to talk to the other doctors about my other health.
Right.
Because I'm sorry, go ahead.
What? No. So you're saying that your doctor currently is not within the same group as these doctors, and it would be easier to have the primary care physician in the same group as these other doctors so they can conference on your health and work as a team to improve the health issues that you have.
Exactly. So hopefully that really will happen. Oh, wait. I know what I wanted to say. Do you remember on one of your shows before you said if my health insurance got switched that I'd be attacked by a schizophrenic person? Well,
yeah,
somebody
but wait,
made an error and okay. accidentally switched my health insurance, and then that happened, but now it switched back again today.
Yeah, but that was contingent on that was you would have had to go move into a facility because you wanted to get you thought you were going to get a home by changing your health insurance. And
well,
that
lady
ultimately
used to live in a facility.
I know, but Dion, that warning was at a time where you were making a conscious decision to change your health insurance, and you would have been in some kind of group living situation, maybe in an apartment, where there were people with mental health issues. And so that was a warning. If you went ahead and changed your health insurance in order to get that housing, that you would end up being attacked. You were attacked by this woman, but you didn't change your health insurance on intentionally, and you stayed in your apartment. So that's, it's murder.
But the neighbors told me that that lady came from a facility like that. They put her
it
over
doesn't
here,
matter.
But she's supposed to be institutionalized.
I know. The prediction, though, Dion, was that if you changed your health insurance and moved into a different facility, you would be taxed at that facility. There was no prediction about, you know, this woman attacking you at this facility. It has nothing to do with your insurance. It's just crappy karma you're going through at this facility. But if you had changed your insurance, if you had changed your insurance and moved to a different living situation, the attack would have been worse. It would have been probably physical. You would have had injuries. It would have been worse. So you, that prediction was softened because you didn't go and intentionally change your health insurance. Your health insurance was accidentally changed back to that health insurance. And you didn't move. That was the contingency where you would be hurt. Now, yes, this has happened, but, you know, it's a different situation.
The overall coincidence, Dion, just assumes that the original prediction was right, and it doesn't matter if she ends up being coming from the facility. It was all wrapped up in a big, broad picture. We don't need to trace now
each incident. No.
It just sort of validates the original
premise. Exactly. The original premise, which was you move, you're going to get attacked, and it would have been bad. It would have been really bad. So you averted
that. Is
that
like an example? Is that an example of like when I'm working with energy to like process the karma, but maybe like transmute it so it doesn't hit so badly? Like, did we transmute the karma?
Yeah. Well, you didn't make that move against our. I know I said immediately when I saw this insurance and you sent it to me in the Messenger app, I said, what are you doing? Do not change your insurance. I don't think it's a good idea. I said, you can do what you want, but my recommendation is not to change the insurance. That was before we ever had a phone call. Then you came on the air and we talked about it. Neil said, listen, I see you getting attacked if you change that insurance. So it's just, you didn't do that. That ultimate attack didn't happen. This situation, yes, it shows that, you know, there's karma that you're dealing with. It wasn't as intense. Your car got attacked. You didn't get physically attacked. And you're now You're now dealing with her physically. I mean, not physically, bringing you into court and making these accusations. But there's no physical attack on you. I mean, it's a hassle, but you're just working off karma. You're just working off karma. And you've got allies at your facility where you're at. So it's a good thing you stayed there.
Yeah, you can divert a potential disaster. I had a client who was going up to the mountains, and I said, listen, what do you usually drive? He goes, I drive about 30 miles an hour. I go, no, drive 15. He goes, 15? Come on. I drive 15 miles an hour up the mountain. Well, he did what I said, and what happened was a tire got released from a pickup truck in front of him, and he had been driving 40 miles an hour or whatever, it would have gone through his window, and he was able to dodge the tire. And he called me back and told me that's exactly what happened and thanked me for saving his life, possibly. So you can avert disaster by taking certain precautions.
Right. So following our advice and not changing your insurance and moving to a different facility because you were, you know, wooed by the opportunity to own your own home, which that wasn't what this insurance was going to offer you anyway. There was a confusion of that. You ended up staying where you were, and yes, you were able to avert karma, but maybe got hit with lesser karma at the facility you're currently living. It's not a facility. It's an apartment complex. I don't even know why I'm calling it a facility. Probably because that woman is nuts. She needs to be in a facility. You said she came from a facility.
Well, that's what I was trying to say, because the leasing office has been trying to evict her, and the office manager, property manager, pulled me in the office the other day and asked me what was going on with that. And I told her, I said, well, it's nothing official yet. It's just, an allegation. I said, but she goes, well, if anything becomes legal with that, the court processes it and it's in order, I need to know. And I said, yeah, no problem. I will bring it to you. They were hoping that I got a order against her so they could get her out of here, because she belongs in a, she needs to go to a real
mental health care facility.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, hopefully that will happen. Hopefully she'll get evicted. I mean, that is points against her, what she did to you, for sure. So that may be, more cause for them to get her out of there because she's harassing other residents. So who knows? But I think the court date's going to go well, and
you
can let us know. Okay, Dion.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye. Thanks. Bye. We've got, 954 is back.
Okay.
You're on air. Hi.
Hey, this is Valerie. How are you guys?
Hey, Valerie. Hi, Valerie.
This is Valerie.
It's a different Valerie. 720, 64. What are you? 64.
Yep. Oh.
Valerie is my birthday twin.
Yeah.
720. I mean, not birthday twin. We're not twins. We don't have the same birthday,
right.
But we're
yeah.
We're like, birthday sisters. 729-11-2. And it's funny too because you're a 29-11-2 and I'm a 30-equals-3. So we're like one karmic number away from each other, even though our years are totally different. But we're born a day apart. That's the. Okay, so what's going on, Valerie?
Well, I'm actually calling to see if you have any suggestions about, it's my dog, Joshua. And he was always sleeping with us in the bedroom, and then Sunday, April 21st, I think it was April 21st, somewhere around there, it was a Sunday, all of a sudden he starts to get scared when it's dark out and will not come in the bedroom. He whines, he runs out, so my husband's been, we've been kind of taking turns sleeping with him in another room. It's the most bizarre thing. He's fine during the day, and all of a sudden, since that Sunday, something spooks him in here, and he won't stay in. We brought him to the vet just to see if there's
anything issue.
Wrong. And he just gave him like an anti-anxiety med, but
we
tried. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He still won't stay. He might be calmer, but he won't stay in here. So I only tried that, but I'm like, well, that's not solving the issue. There's something. Obviously,
yes.
In the room.
And trazodone is like, God, that'll make him real thirsty. It's very drying to
him. Oh, okay. It does. Drink more because he wasn't much of a drinker, but I think I did too. So I don't really want to keep him on that. I just thought if you had any ideas.
Valerie, what is your situation? Are you on a first story or second story or what?
It's a one-story home, single-story home.
And what is your bedroom? Are there, do you keep the windows open?
No, generally not, but I have French doors that I can, when it's cooler outside, which is less and less this time of year here, I can open them up in the evening because he was preferring to be outside, but I can't let him sleep outside all night because he'll end up barking at something outside, a noise or something. I have a
Is he a barker?
Screened enclosure.
Is he chaser? Is he a barker? Is he a barker and a chaser? If he sees something, will he chase after it?
Yeah, generally, not always, but yes, he will.
Okay. Does he sleep on? Okay. Does he sleep on the bed or on the floor in the bedroom?
On the bed. On the bed.
And have you noticed, how old is the dog?
He's like 4.5. He was 11/23/2019.
I thought he was
now,
five.
Now, have you noticed like any form of arthritis or pain in its legs or anything like that?
No.
Mm-mm. No, and the vet didn't check him out.
The vet was afraid of him for some reason. I mean, I don't know. He might have nipped at him or something. Usually he makes us.
What kind of dog is he?
He's a half black lab, and we don't know the other half. But he's kind of smallish for a lab.
Small for a lab.
And what do you mean, real quickly, what do you mean he cries? Describe what happens in the bedroom.
Really whiny. He'll run out if he can, and then he just starts whining. And he'll whine. He'll get off the bed and then, like, be at one of either my side or my husband's side and just whine. And then if we don't address it, it just escalates, you know. Like, you know, he's not going to let it go. Because sometimes I'm like, just ignore him. But you can't ignore him. He won't, you know, he'll just escalate.
When he's in the bedroom, when you're in the bedroom, do you sleep with the door open or closed?
Okay. Generally open. I mean, the inside doors, right, to the home. Yeah.
So why can't? So if he whines, why can't he just leave on his own and go out? Why?
He does. And he will. He'll go out to the living room, family room area, but eventually he'll start barking. Like, so he'll be waking us up. Like, if we won't be able to sleep because he'll just every 10 minutes he'll start barking or something.
Mean barking at the door or outside, something outside?
I don't know, I don't know if he hears something, but, I mean, we don't care where he sleeps, but he won't leave the room and
disruptive.
Be quiet somewhere.
Right, he's disruptive.
He's restless.
So he's having behavioral issues for something,
yeah,
for some reason.
He's restless.
Okay. And where do you live? What kind of area?
Suburban, right?
It's in the suburbs. Mm-hmm.
Suburbs?
Yeah, but we're South Florida.
South Florida?
Close to the ocean?
No, we're more to the Everglades. We're closer to the Everglades than the ocean.
Let me ask you something. Are you aware of, do you have raccoons in your area?
Yes.
Yeah, what he's smelling is a raccoon. And there's a raccoon that routinely goes to the backyard. You know, they have, a lot of raccoons, as long as they live, they have a territory.
Yeah.
And so the raccoon, he's smelling the raccoon, and it's causing him anxiety. It's causing him to want to bark. And so it's a raccoon issue. I don't think it's a big deal. We'll put energy around your home.
Yeah, don't.
Have you seen any raccoons in your area?
A couple months ago, I think it was, I don't remember exactly, because sometimes I'll let him out on the side of the house. I've kind of got it fenced in that he could just go pee if he wanted to out of the French doors here. So one night, I let him out, and I could only assume it was a raccoon. I don't know, but it scared the heck out of him, and he ran right back in.
There you go.
This was a while ago. It wasn't recently. Okay.
No, it doesn't matter. The dog is geared to keep a memory of it because a raccoon can actually do a dog a lot of damage.
Okay.
A lot of damage.
Okay.
So that's what it is.
But I don't I don't want to encourage her to like do anything to like poison the raccoon.
No, leave the raccoon alone.
I don't like to use pesticides. In fact, my husband complains of spiders and stuff on the enclosure.
If you hurt the raccoon, I predict your dog will die.
Okay. No, I would never.
Don't hurt the raccoon.
I'm just not.
Don't hurt the raccoon. There's a karmic thing going on.
Just let it play out.
If you want, and it gets really annoying, you can go outside with a flashlight and shoo the raccoon away or something. Something like that. Check your backyard. Raccoons are jumpers. They'll jump over things.
Are they there seasonally? Or are they there year round?
I don't know. See, there's almost like there's no homes on the other side of us, but it's like they call it a mitigation area. It's kind of marshy, but then there's a farm on the other. Then there's someone.
A raccoon. It's a raccoon.
We do see
it's
raccoons.
It's a raccoon, I think. I think it's a raccoon. Just keep food away from the backyard, fruits away from the backyard, that kind of thing.
And, you know, hopefully this will resolve. You know, real briefly, we have the same problem with Callie, where she used to come in the bedroom and sleep with me. And Olive, when, you know, she was adjusting to Callie, she wouldn't sleep with us at all in our bed. But now Olive has taken back over the dominance of that space. She's in the bed, and Callie is totally afraid of the bedroom, and she will not sleep with us. I mean, I have to come get her at night, and I have a bed for her that's separate, not in our bed. But she's not there every night. She won't let me get her every night. So it's we have the same issue.
Thank you, though. I really, really appreciate your input. Okay.
Yeah, the rec room was a good call. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Take care.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye. You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we are on the air at 9 a.m. on Friday, folks, and that was a nice, full show. Lots of callers. We like it like that. We hope that you join us again at 9 a.m. on Friday. Thank you.